Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan, known as FAU for Show over at FAUAllisonS.com. I am joined as usual by Shane and Jack, and today we're going to go over a little bit about some of the stuff that we've been doing, talk a little bit about athletics, and then we've got a really cool opportunity and a special guest. FAU Athletic Director Brian White is going to be joining us today. So pretty cool opportunity, and you know, maybe we'll throw a breakdown of Jake Elman playing FAU, playing as FAU in NCAA 14 in Dynasty. No, if we get to that point where we're doing game film on that, then definitely someone call for help. But yeah, I don't know what's been on you guys' mind as we've had some extended time where normally we'd be thinking about spring battles, position battles at this point, and right now we're, you know, trying to come up with things to talk about. So what's been on your mind, guys?
Well, the question is that's been on everybody's mind. Obviously, you know, football isn't on the forefront of everybody's mind. I know, you know, the business I'm part of is closed, and everyone else is, you know, definitely feeling this effects in some sort of way and being confined to your homes. But you know, obviously starting to think of the scenarios, you know, every day on Twitter, you see article this, article that, you know, will there be football season? There will be football season in the summer. Will it be late to the spring? You know, the scenarios with, you know, NCAA baseball and softball players getting scholarships. There's just so much going on there, and nobody knows what's going to happen, right? I think that's the biggest thing. There's really no, at this point where we are on April 1st, there's no kind of light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I've been, you know, racking my brain, talking to people, talking to coaches, various different staffs I've met, you know, out in recruiting, just getting their thoughts and, you know, who this hurts. And, you know, we talk about spring football and, you know, we'd be talking about position battles. We'd be taking over at center right now. You know, that's what, you know, want to see with net, FAU's completely revamping its front seven, losing Rashad Smith and probably Akias Leroy. Most likely, yes, Leroy will not be returning next year. Replacing all those guys would be what we'd be talking about right now, and who's stepping up. Young linebackers like Eddie Williams, it'd be fun. But right now, we just don't, you know, we obviously don't have those options. And I think this is any team that's not changing coaches this year. It has a huge advantage. And this is assuming we do play a football season. Best case scenario, they start it, have a fall camp, and get going. But man, FAU is losing critical time. You'll see, and you know, we already interviewed Brian White. He talked about coaches having X amount of hours to speak to players on a daily basis. Strength and conditioning coaches can send workouts. But, you know, working out in your living room compared to working out in the new Schmidt Center is two completely different things, obviously. So, you know, keeping your players engaged, and FAU's changing playbooks, switching to a different scheme on defense and a different scheme on offense. I mean, it's a lot to ask any staff not to have practices and go into the season and hold any type of expectations.
Probably partly explains why Western Kentucky was in one – it had the highest odds to, or the best odds to win Conference USA next year, which is, a bit, you think about it, it's a bit surprising, but yeah, they are, returning.
They return a ton of starters, all the ingredients you need for this type of scenario. Is FAU a more talented football team than Western Kentucky? Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
They're returning a coach. They have a quarterback that started some last games. They have
really good defense.
Yeah, really good defense. 17 seniors. So this event affects them way less. I mean, depending on how long this goes, and obviously the shorter this goes, the better it is for FAU. Maybe at best case scenario, I would hope that maybe they can do an extended fall camp. Take the 15 practices, you know, let's say hypothetically kids can come back June 15th, they work out, they get going, and maybe schools that didn't have spring can get an extra 10, 12 practices starting in July and just have a super long fall camp to maybe close a little bit of that gap. But any team that has, you know, seniors, coaches coming back has a massive advantage, and FAU could be playing catch up on playbooks. You know, we could talk about all the grad transfer receivers we're going to get, you know, Chase from Clemson, and Aaron Young from Duke, DeMarcus Adams from Florida State. We can talk about those, but if Chris isn't throwing them the ball, getting reps, even over the summer, just working with them, go out there and running route trees 100 times, having all that talent, just you lose some of the advantage with it.
And then, you know, when you add on the brand new schemes as well, it's a daunting task. I'm worried about the defense. Shane, you had a good stat, and I want you to bring it up about the front seven and how many starts are going to have to be replaced.
Yeah, so again, I mentioned, like I said, Akeas Leroy is not even listed on the football roster right now, so we don't know what's going on with that. I've argued that I think Rashad Smith, and I'll say this, hot take, mention me in my tweets later, is the best FAU defensive player in school history, okay? That's how highly I think of Rashad Smith. Jack made a face, sorry, as someone else, but Rashad Smith was just the playmaker. It's hard to replace that.
Yeah.
FAU's always had a great history at linebackers, always kind of had the next one, but Francois to Kirk to Aziz, but now you're losing one because of grades. You don't have that. I believe in Caleb Bryce, but man, this would have been a great spring for Caleb Bryce to kind of take that role, who played really good role. We're also losing, I don't know if Hosa Barnwell is coming back. He wasn't working out with the team in the spring. So that's your top three linebackers. And then you're losing, we talked about losing guys like William Davis, Noah Jefferson up front. I think I counted in our front seven, FAU, depending, I don't know exactly how, but there's like some 80 starts between those guys we're losing in our linebacker core and all those defensive linemen. If you combine all the games they've started, that's a lot of experience. And when you don't have the time to create new experience, it could be rough.
Yeah. It's going to be challenging, no doubt. It just sucks, guys. This whole thing sucks. I really wish we could be talking about spring ball right now and you know, talking about how all these new receivers and the returning running backs are going to run up the score in FIU in the fall. But instead, we have to talk about how Jake Elman lost to Middle Tennessee after beating Ohio State and UCF in his dynasty. I mean, Jake, what is going on, man? What was that, dude? Don't even get me started. Yeah, embarrassing. Middle Tennessee, what a joke. But that just goes to show how kind of desperate we are right now for any bit of FAU news. And that's no offense to Jake's dynasty. I've been taking that thing to heart. I've been living and dying by that dynasty. does anyone else have anything to say about football? I do want to say that the NCAA, a couple days ago, we're recording this Wednesday the 1st. A couple days ago, they did say that they will give spring athletes another year. We're not exactly sure how that's going to happen, but they will receive another year of eligibility if they want it.
That doesn't include basketball. So correct. It's like baseball, softball.
Yeah.
I don't know what other spring sports are there. Trying to think of tennis. No, tennis is in the fall.
No,
the biggest are baseball and softball.
Yeah. Baseball and softball are the biggest. I'm pretty sure tennis is a spring sport.
And but you kind of wonder at these things. There's so much to play out. Yeah, they can announce that, and maybe some guys. And let's just speak with FAU baseball. FAU baseball is really popular, you know, in some decision making. The MLB announced that its draft was probably only going to be 5 rounds, I believe, this upcoming. How many times do we see FAU? A lot of seniors, good college baseball players go in, even that 10th, 12th. Those are still, you know, important rounds in baseball. It's like the NFL draft cutting down to 2-3 rounds, okay, the equivalent. Baseball only allows for 12 and a half scholarship. What if you have 10 seniors that want to come back and another team only has 4 seniors that want to come back? Are you allowed to have 22 and a half scholarships and they can only have 16? You just keep up. You know what I mean? How do you play all that out? There was so much. And, you know, when we speak to the athletic director, there's thoughts being thrown out there, and they're probably drawing stuff on a whiteboard every day and talking about scenarios. But again, until we know how long this thing goes, you can't really put anything concrete.
Yeah, coming recruiting. In. Think of the baseball or softball recruits that are going to be coming in for next year. Like if you're planning to lose 10 seniors, so you're planning to bring in 10 freshmen. What are you going to do with those? Are you going to be allowed to have that many more scholarships? You know,
normally if FAU was only in spring practice, I'd probably be writing once or twice a week about the kids coming to campus and FAU getting eyes on kids. You got to think, you know, right after spring football in college typically coincides with high school spring football, which is usually about a month later, usually starts kind of mid-April, May, end of school years. That time of year is when that's the biggest evaluation period. That's when every coach during that springtime, when schools are playing spring football. I mean, I've gone to spring football games where there's been 30 college football coaches, ranging for obviously from Washington State to UCF, standing on the sideline. So they miss all that time. And especially in the state of Florida, I said before, I think there's an advantage for FAU. Less coaches are getting less eyes on kids. But, you know, how that plays off right now, I know the coaches I do, they're watching huddle videos and film from coaches, you know, to evaluate kids. And that's difficult. You got to kind of rely on all the high school football coaches you know to give you, you know, honest information on kids to evaluate them.
It's a catch-22 because I feel like one of our draws would be bringing kids, no matter the sport. It could be softball. It could be swimming. It could be the tennis program. Bringing the kids to campus and we can show them the lifestyle, the Boca Raton lifestyle, how close we are to the beach, the facilities, especially the new facility with the Schmidt Center. And we're not really able to do that right now. But at the same time, Florida is so talent-rich in sports, especially football, baseball, softball. We can kind of maybe do a better job of bringing talent to Boca or keeping it in Florida instead of having those teams, like you mentioned, like a Washington State or an Indiana, Boston College, poach talent away from here. Dan, you posed a question about, and it's still a question, we don't know, about whether winter athletes will be extended this offer. We don't know. The only thing we do know is that FAU won its first in bracket conference tournament game in over a decade, and not even 12 hours later the tournament got canceled. That's heartbreaking. I'm not going to say we were going to make a huge run. I mean, we're going to play North Texas.
We would have been in the Final Four this weekend. Would have been in the Final Four?
Something of the sort. the CIT and CBI would have been wrapped up already. NIT would have been wrapping up. I mean, I was planning on getting tickets to the first couple rounds here in Tampa for the NCAA tournament. So definitely bummed. Just sucks to see all around. Feel awful for those student athletes.
Yeah. So we will we'll move on. And like we said, we've got a pretty cool opportunity to interview. We had a pretty cool opportunity to interview Brian White. So please enjoy that conversation. Okay. Well, now we have a very special treat for you all. I think at a time like this, when there's not a lot of FAU content coming out, we thought it would be really cool. And we were graciously given the opportunity to have FAU Athletic Director Brian White on the show. Thank you, Brian, for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate all you guys do to cover FAU.
Absolutely. So
thank you.
Shane, I think you had a question. Go ahead.
So, you know, this time is crazy. I guess maybe just to start, kind of take us through, you know, how it all started when you were out in Frisco a little bit, how the communication has been, you know, kind of between the conference and, you know, kind of from that point to now, just how it's been kind of navigating it.
Sure. The first thing I'd say is I think Conference USA has done a great job with their internal communications, and we have been pretty lockstep. You know, the unique part about this is, you know, none of us have, there's no playbook for this, as many have said, and none of us have prepared for this. None of us went to school to study this or, or anything like this. So we just hadn't prepared or anticipated anything like this. So I think the unique thing is that we're all going through it together. So we're staying pretty close, you know, and you mentioned Frisco. At Frisco, we were meeting, I think the last day we were there, the day before we canceled the tournament, I think we had three or four different in-person meetings with all of the ADs and the conference office. And because things were moving so quickly, then we woke up the next morning and we met again, first thing in the morning. And I think we had two meetings that day, which the second one resulted in us all deciding to cancel the tournament. And since then we've met, we're now meeting formally, via Zoom 3 days a week. We have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday Zoom call with all the ADs and the conference office, but we're also talking amongst individual ADs in the conference daily and in communication with the conference office daily. So we're all really living this together, and the office has done a great job of proactively getting us together and communicating.
Ryan, can you, going back to Frisco, can you talk about the basketball team's kind of reaction to the decision to cancel the remainder of the tournament?
Emotional. Disappointing. I would say, you know, especially for our seniors. But definitely understanding. There wasn't a lot of, you know, the way it came down with the NBA and so many other leagues making the same decision. There's definitely understanding, but it's also, you know, you can't take away from the emotion that they're ready to play that day in a conference tournament game. And of course, everybody's thinking, you know, we're going to make a run and we're going to do something special. And especially your senior year, your last chance. And there's just so much emotion in postseason basketball that you can definitely understand that. So it was really difficult.
Yeah, that's tough to see. And you talked about earlier, communicating with individual athletic directors in Conference USA. Have you been talking or can you – talk about the communication process with the NCAA or maybe other athletic directors that aren't in the conference, like your brother, for example, at UCF?
Yes, we're in, you know, the same thing that can be said for our conference athletic directors. Athletic directors across the country are in the same boat. We're all dealing with something that's very different from anything we've ever really dealt with. So we're all in it together, and we're all, you know, what makes sense for FAU athletics may make sense for UCF and vice versa. But there's a whole lot of ADs in the country that were staying in touch and definitely in constant contact with the NCAA as well. And various ADs are on different committees. And so you're definitely staying connected with ADs from around the country. And all of that's really helpful. There's no reason for us all to be going through this in silos. So we're all trying to help each other out. And this is one of those unique times where there's no secret sauce. We're all trying to figure out what's best for student athletes and what's best for our athletic programs and sharing our best ideas. And they change daily, really. So we're working together to figure it all out.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, started to answer kind of my next question. What's more now, and I know you do it probably a little bit of both right now, is the bigger focus on just kind of the day-to-day with the current athletes now, you know, especially now a time where the football players should have been in spring football, creating ways that the coaching staff can communicate with them, you know, get out workouts or, you know, trying to teach as much football as possible. Also versus, you know, college athletic directors trying to figure out what the plan is might be in the future.
I'd say it's both. It's a heavy dose of both, because there are both are very unique. So we're constantly planning for many different scenarios in the future, but we're also keeping a constant focus on the health and safety of our student athletes. So that is, our coaches are in regular. We have in our conference, we have 8 hours a week that our coaches are allowed to Zoom meet with our student athletes. And especially speaking of football in particular, with a new coach and a new playbook, you know, there's a lot there that would definitely be beneficial to be in person. But since that's not the reality, we're going to use Zoom just like everybody else is to the best of our ability to learn the new playbook, get everybody up to speed. And then our, you know, strength and conditioning staff is doing a great job of getting our student athletes the best workouts they can give them, to where they don't need to go to a gym, because most places gyms are closed. So they, can they do a workout with just their own body weight in their family room? Can they do something in their backyard? There actually are pretty good workouts they can give them. And then, can we be calling our student athletes to make sure that they're staying on it and staying healthy and making good decisions? And that's kind of the best things we can do, is just stay in touch with them.
Well, and you kind of mentioned the heavy dose of both. And I guess what I'm wondering now is, since we're still, it almost feels like so much in the beginning of this, and right now there's no timetable, even the top experts, nobody knows when this is going to end. How much effort can you put into, I guess, going to the drawing board and saying, well, this is what we should do with football season? I think fans have read every possible scenario. Every AD under the sun has tossed out some idea, whether you saw football in the summer last week was being talked about, or winter, or no fans, or shortened season. How do you even begin to talk about those things when nobody even knows what the timetable or what it even might look like in the next coming months?
I think Dr. Fauci said it best. He said the virus makes the timeline. And I think that that's kind of where we are. We are watching the medical professionals and the experts and the scientists and the people that know best, and trying to take their lead on when they think we'll be able to safely resume, not only as a university, but also with practices. And then, practices is one dynamic, but then you have games with fans in attendance is a different dynamic. So we're reading up on it, but I'm not so sure you can, I don't think anybody has it exactly scripted. I mean, there's definitely ideas being thrown out there about different scenarios, but we're more so trying to prepare for when this does open up. Then we'll know a lot more. And when it's clear and safe for us to do X, we'll make plans accordingly.
I guess my final question with that, maybe once there is light at the end of the tunnel, since this is so unique, and obviously the NCAA doesn't have a history of moving entirely fast on a lot of these decisions, on maybe a hypothetical timeline, how do you get the conferences, all the individual ADs, to almost agree on a scenario once it's presented, right? Is there a voting process? Or is the NCAA just going to have it come down and say, this is it?
That's a great question. I think there'll be one, I guess, in this scenario, when we're talking about when we can resume competing, practicing, et cetera, I would think that everybody would move pretty quick. But I think it's really not going to be – I don't see it as being an NCAA decision. It'll be an NCAA decision, but it'll depend so much on the medical professionals and the scientists and what's safe for the nation. I think it's more so, my assumption is when large gatherings are acceptable, the sporting events will be acceptable. I just think they're so connected, and it'll be connected to what pro sports leagues do, but all these things I think are probably connected to what's best for the country. It's just so much bigger than college athletics that I don't see it being, hey, just NCAA in a vacuum make a decision. I think that it'll be something that tracks along with so many other things that are all kind of on halt right now.
I get, and one more thing I kind of ask on this, there's a lot of talk on about possibly the long-term effects of this, especially if a football season is missed. Everything from some schools might not be able to survive it. Do you think that we're going to see, if this does maybe possible worst case scenario, some real hard changes to the surface of college sports? I mean, everything from scheduling to some universities just kind of not being able to make it through this.
I guess what I'd say first is I'm an optimist, and so we are hoping for the best. But that being said, we are preparing for the worst, and I think that's the. It sounds like it's more of a financial question, and I would say that in every sector and probably every person in our country right now has some level of financial anxiety. So absolutely, you know, we every athletic director in the country right now is feeling some financial anxiety because really we don't know what the future holds in terms of, you know, the timeline of the virus. And but that being said, I do think, you know, what we need to do is just, you know, as simple as it sounds, hope for the best and prepare for the worst. And what does that mean to prepare for the worst? You know, we're forecasting various budget scenarios and trying to build a extremely fiscally responsible model that will help us operate in an environment that may be more and more difficult. So that's kind of where we are, is just thinking about, you know, where we are financially, forecasting, you know, what different scenarios that I think we've all seen, and making sure that we're at least prepared for what we think the worst case scenario could be.
Speaking of preparing for the worst, Brian, what is one thing fans can do to help the athletic department and to help the student athletes right now?
That's a great question. I think it's kind of twofold. In terms of helping student athletes right now, I think they're in a unique time, you know, in that they're feeling, you know, right now what we're all feeling, and that their lives are changed. Everything's very different. And whatever they're passionate about has been taken away. But I do think it's magnified for our student athletes, in that many of them have prepared through youth sports, through training their whole lives to be a Division I college athlete. And and they're, you know, obviously close with their teammates, and they love what they do, and they put a lot of hard work and effort into what they do. So this is definitely an even more difficult time for them. And I'd say to, you know, support our student athletes in the meantime, you know, social media, you know, however you can reach out to them, definitely fan support would be important for them. And then, you know, down the road, you know, always looking for, you know, fan support at games and further support for our student athletes. In terms of supporting the athletic department, you know, I think, you know, the things we always preach are just to, you know, especially as we're talking about finances, we're definitely hoping to grow our ticket sales next year, and knowing that, you know, I know there's a lot of uncertainties, but we're hoping that, that people continue to buy tickets and continue to support the program and donate to the Paradise Club. But, you know, that being said, I know it's a hard time to ask anybody, because I know we're all under a lot of financial stress, but in terms of supporting the athletic department, those are kind of our lifebloods, is the Paradise Club and ticket sales. And any way, you know, people can help with that is definitely very much appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think especially the people that tend to listen to our show are those that are going to do whatever we can. And hopefully we can share that more with other Owl fans to get that out there. So I guess we'll kind of wrap up. And, you know, we've talked a lot about what, you know, how the university and how athletics has handled the situation right now. But, you know, I guess we'll kind of end. I get more on a positive note, I guess you could say. What is the Schmidt Center? I think everybody that's been to a game has been super excited about what's available there. And now there's the sports museum that's there. When this is all over, how do and is it possible for the public to get to go tour the Schmidt Complex, or at the very least get to check out the museum?
Absolutely. I would say, actually, before this all started, we had actually had the Fogelman Museum open to the public. So there are hours that are posted on the museum, but it's open, I believe it's on a regular basis. Obviously, once this virus passes and it's safe to have museums open, it'll be open 6 days a week through regularly scheduled hours. And so that's definitely something we're very proud of and very excited about. And the new Schmidt Family Complex is really an incredible asset. And we're still working on the finishing touches to it, but we will definitely have the building open to the public soon after we are done with our current situation. But that being said, you know, the building and there's, I think a lot of people right now, I appreciate you mentioning ending on a positive note, but, and I think further on that, I think I've been pretty bullish on, the potential of FAU athletics. And I don't think that's changed. I'm very excited about getting our student athletes back here to campus. Very excited to get them back competing. I love our competitive advantages, given that where we are and our facilities and our location and our recruiting base and our climate. I think it's an incredible place with an extremely bright future. And I know these are very difficult times, so it's hard to think about an extremely bright future, but I think it's important to focus on that as well, that we will have our student athletes back on campus. And I'm very much looking forward to that day.
Yeah, I definitely think there will be an excitement for people once things open back up, almost like you appreciate it more when you almost didn't have it. I know I feel that way with football season and stuff coming up. And, you know, now that there's no spring football, I'm at the antsy point. And, you know, I think when the fall comes and, like you said, being bullish on it, getting the ball rolling again, I fans will be really excited when this gets going again.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for us. We really appreciate you being on the show with us and taking the time throughout the day, because, you know, we certainly know that being a vice president and athletic director, your day is still you're still busy. So again, we appreciate the time that you're giving to Owl Nation right now.
Well, I thank you for all you do to cover our athletics programs, and appreciate all you do, and hope you stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You too.
Let's get you on next time when there's not, you know, so much bad news going on. Hopefully maybe right before the season we can talk USF and all the things coming up for the season.
That sounds great. I'm in.
All right, cool.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. All right. Well, we hope that you enjoyed the conversation that we had with Brian White. And, you know, we may try to pump some more content out there, especially now when people have a little bit more time on their hands and, you know, you're really just looking for any another podcast, another outlet to kind of keep you occupied for a while. So we may come up with some options, and who knows, maybe we will we'll do a commentary on Jake Elman's dynasty in NCAA 14. But so we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And, you know, if you have any suggestions about what you'd like to see, we're happy to take a stab at it. You know, as always, make sure you're checking out FAUOwlsNest.com, checking us out on Twitter at Inside the Burrow. And for Jack and Shane, we appreciate you guys being on with us, and we'll see you next time. Go Owls.